Thanks for continuing on with us on Niaga Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani, taking over from my colleagues Harith Ashraf Asnan, Nina Rozman, Nabila Khalida, as well as my good friend Najib Aruf. Not to say that the others weren't my good friends. They still are. Now we move on to some items revolving on the issue of the ability for us to talk about digital banks. Joining us on the line live is Dan Jones, partner financial services at Oliver Wyman Digital. Dan, let's talk a little bit more about the new recently issued 5 digital banking entrance to the sector. The opportunities for these new digital banks must be discussed, but at the same time, we have to also talk about the challenges of them and most importantly, the requirement that was set by Bank Negara Malaysia on them giving a clear pathway to profitability in the shortest time possible. But before we jump to all that, let's go through with regard to the new digital bank entrance and how this is going to be seen moving into 2023 and in relation to the budget as well. Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Ibrahim. So I think it's a great opportunity for banks and customers in Malaysia alike. So the framework issued by Bank Negara Malaysia was to really drive financial inclusion, and I think there's a great opportunity to do that through developing mobile-first or web-based banking solutions that really adapt to the change in customer needs in Malaysia. We've seen small businesses have a number of challenges on banking their cash flow, the rise in digital payments, for example. All of these are everyday needs for customers that can be solved through the development of these new digital banks. So it's a very exciting time right now for both customers and the banking industry in Malaysia.
Now, of course, we're talking about a very saturated market. Where does the rise of digital banks mean, or what does the rise of digital banks mean for companies and other banks in Malaysia?
I think ultimately it means more competition in the market. It drives a need for further digitization of their products and services so that they can avoid being disrupted themselves. And what that ultimately means is that they need to get quicker at getting new features and products out to market, whilst also looking to lower the cost of operating and their technology base as well. And we've seen a huge rise in the availability of cloud-based fintech solutions in the market that allow both the digital bank and the incumbents in Malaysia to now disrupt and develop innovative financial products at speed. But I think it also means that the incumbent banks need to play to their strengths. They've got many years behind them of experience and a lot of value and strength in their trusted brands that they've built up over the years. So they need to work out how to best leverage that and go into alternative business models and different ways to distribute financial services products to customers, ideally through more digital channels as per demand in the market right now for such services.
I want to draw upon Oliver Wyman's experience. You have, or your organization is indeed one of the global leaders in terms of management consulting. You've seen enough, case studies to see what works, what doesn't work, especially when we talk about Oliver Wyman Digital in specific. Maybe you can share with us some of the ideas that you have with regard to critical success factors for building a customer-centric bank and how to deliver this on digital.
Certainly. So I think first and foremost is develop a proposition and set of products that address core unmet customer needs. So at the start, throughout, and at the end of your projects, engage with customers frequently, get feedback, include them in the feedback cycle as you're developing your new products and services through interviews, focus groups, and so on, and never lose sight of the unmet needs that you're trying to solve for customers. So that's one critical success factor, but also the ability to move quickly using agile software development methodology to get products out to market quickly is definitely key. It's not necessarily about being first to market with something. It's making sure that the product really, really addresses those unmet needs and I guess brings something different or a different way of banking to customers in Malaysia. There's other things as well. You know, engaging the regulator often and early is absolutely critical. Using the ecosystem of fintech partners that have developed around this space now, and leveraging their world-leading solutions and embedding those in your technology stack are other key points, as well as having a clear vision from the top and strong leadership. And we'll be exploring all of these points at the Global Islamic Finance Forum on October the 5th in a detailed panel discussion as well.
Yeah, speaking about the Global Islamic Finance Forum, or GIF, 2022, there are a lot of conversations in terms of how to leapfrog the Islamic financial services to digital. We've seen some innovation coming in from companies like Sedania, for instance. Banks are now revolutionizing their digital services to be very much Islamic compliant. We're looking at asset allocation being very much in tune to how it can be recognized Sharia compliant wise, but in digital form. And regulations need to keep up to date when it comes to how the market participants are doing Islamic finance in Islamic sphere. What would be some of the key items that you think is going to be seen at the Global Islamic Finance Forum when it comes to taking digital further in the realm of Islamic finance?
I think we'll see and hear about a lot of examples where some of that innovation I mentioned using the ecosystem of partners has been applied in a Sharia context to then meet both the needs of Islamic but also conventional customers as well. And so there is flexibility and configurability that you can build into your product, not just to meet the Sharia guidelines, but also to really develop new products and features for customers. So I think we're seeing just as much innovation on the Islamic side as we are the conventional side. And we are seeing conventional customers really look to Islamic banking a lot more these days for their banking needs. And we fully expect that trend to continue with the focus, with the investment in Islamic banking going forward. And also using Bank of the Dharma Malaysia's digital banking framework as well to drive more innovation and more financial inclusion for those customers as they've issued 2 out of the 5 licenses as Islamic licenses.
Dan, we're looking at 3 out of 2 licenses given as a Sharia license and digital banks. Do you feel that the Sharia-driven digital banks would have an upper hand against conventional, or do you think it's vice versa? And why do you think that one would be having a superseding advantage over the other?
We don't really see it as one having an advantage over the other, to be honest. I think that Malaysia and the Malaysian society being what it is, customers are ultimately looking for financial services and products that fit what they need to do in their lives and the jobs that they're trying to get complete in their lives. And many conventional customers are looking at Islamic banks for that, but also the conventional banks. So I think it gives just more choices, more flexibility to customers. It gives, if the technology is built in the correct way in the back end, it means that you can pass back a lot of that value to customers. So we see it as a fairly level playing field, but absolutely more and more customers are looking to Islamic banking these days for their banking needs.
Finally, Dan, I want to explore some ideas on market consolidation. As we discussed very early on in this interview, we were talking about a market that is saturated with players. Do you feel that the time is ripe for market participants as well as some of the financial institutions to amalgamate or acquire one another in order for them to stay competitive in this very saturated market?
I think we have to wait and see how the new digital banks fare, first of all. I think there's a lot of optimism in the market for the impact that they will have on the everyday lives of consumers. But in any market, we'll see some winners and losers, and there may be opportunities for amalgamation for sure. We haven't seen too much of that happening in Europe and in the US, who have already been through their digital banking wave that's hitting a number of markets in Asia. I wouldn't rule it out, but I think it's too early to start speculating on where that consolidation might happen.
All right. Final question then. When it comes to taking the reins, the quote-unquote slogan for the Global Islamic Finance Forum, what would be some of the ideas that you will be sharing on this forum or at this forum?
So we'll be talking about how quickly a banking technology stack can be built, particularly on the Islamic side, using a number of the technology and fintech solutions that are out there now. We'll be covering the critical success factors of what it takes to build a digital bank from scratch, and how that can be achieved in a relatively short space of time, and how you can take that to market and launch with a real impact to then address those customer needs. So there's a whole host of success factors and lessons learned that we'll be covering at the Global Islamic Finance Forum to share with those who are there and watching.
Thank you very much. That was Dan Jones, Partner, Financial Services at Oliver Wyman Digital.